It's been a decade since Future Islands broke out thanks to a viral performance of Seasons on The Late Show with David Letterman.
Seasons change.
Fast forward to the present, and the Baltimore indie synth-pop band have a new album. It's called People Who Aren't There Anymore.
This record is really deeply personal for me. The songs quickly turned into these longings because I was, you know, separated from my ex.
That's frontman Samuel T. Herring talking about the album, which took shape during the pandemic. Alongside keyboardist Garrett Welmers, they talk about making what they believe is their best sounding record yet. And we'll look back on that classic Letterman performance.
Much of it was, please, please do not mess up.
Future Islands, today for Sense of Place on today's World Cafe.
KAXE News, I'm Megan Buffington with a special edition of the Up North Report. Lead pipes in public water systems are common throughout Minnesota and the country. So Hibbing Public Utilities' recent discovery of elevated lead in some samples isn't all that unique, but HPU's response is. Minnesota water providers are required to sample inside 30 homes each year. In Hibbing, 6 had lead levels above what the Environmental Protection Agency calls the lead action level. Here's Paul Plombon, HPU's energy and operations manager.
The limit for lead is 15 parts per billion. We had some that were just above that, some upwards of close to 60.
There's no safe level of lead exposure for anyone.
Anna Schleep is the Minnesota Department of Health's lead and drinking water coordinator.
We know that it can cause impacts to learning, development, behavior, hearing problems, things like that. The biggest exposure to lead is still from lead paint and lead dust. But drinking water is something that lots of people use.
Hibbing Public Utilities could have simply sent out a notice about the lead levels, done a bit of education, and addressed the issue at the homes it knew had too much lead. But instead, they chose to be aggressive. Those elevated levels came back in October. Before the ground froze, they dug about 500 potholes. That means blasting down to look at water lines on both the utility side and the customer side.
If you're not familiar with it, there's a line coming, water line coming from the house all the way out to the curb stop, and which is the shutoff for the house. And then there's usually a smaller section, depending on where the water main is, that is utility owned, and that goes out to the main.
Before that, HPU knew about 8 or 9 lead lines. The potholing upped that count to about 90. Service lines are the main way that lead gets into water in Minnesota. Lead solder and fixtures are big sources, too. That means even homes with well water can still have lead. Anytime water sits, lead can leach in. Concerns around lead poisoning really started to grow in the 70s. New lead plumbing was banned in 1986. The health department's Spleach says there's been a lot of work to lower lead exposure in those decades. For a long time, the focus was on corrosion control to minimize lead in water. In 2021, the EPA changed its lead and copper rules, adding requirements to identify and replace lead service lines. Minnesota's goal is to replace all these lines by 2033.
But our general manager is confident we can do ours in 2 to 3 years.
Most Minnesota water systems, including Hibbing, are still in the identification phase. That's evident when you look at the state's online map of lead service line inventories. There, you can check each water system to see how many lines are lead. Hibbing has about 6,000 service lines. The type of about 1/3 are still unknown. Customers are often hesitant to let people into their homes, but HPU has been more aggressive about that, too. In the last week, they've looked at some 150 lines. It's a slow process, but getting inside homes to help identify those lines is a big focus this winter.
This customer side, being able to complete this is a really high priority because that will help inform the rest of our potholing projects.
Elliot Dixon is HPU's engagement specialist.
And so, you know, they feed into each other to make sure that we're making the best decisions we can, putting the funding in the most effective place possible for these upcoming replacement projects as well.
The cost of the work is prohibitive for a lot of communities. The state provides some funding, but that's part of the reason behind Hibbing's aggressive approach. More data to back up the need for additional money means they could get more to help pay for replacements.
If you want to look at it like this, Hibbing is more standing up for the little guy. And if we have to be the voice of reason and be down at the state capitol and in Washington, D.C., talking about this, spreading the word of what we're doing, helping other communities if we can. And even if it helps just by being down there and being the squeaky wheel and saying they're not going to go away until we give them something and help them out, then we're okay with that.
That's it for this special edition of the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Megan Buffington, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920 with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
From NPR, it's World Cafe. Hey, I am Kaleo. Story about that song. Randy Newman had never even visited Baltimore when he wrote that in 1977. We're a little bit different. We're boots on the ground. Welcome to Sense of Place Baltimore. Sense of Place, our series where we travel to a city to explore its musical past, present, and future. Over the next week, we'll introduce you to the Baltimore Rock Opera Society, a community of artists who dream big.
But with the mission of creating the most spectacular theater that you've ever seen for the next 7,000 years. Our motto is in Panton Redundo, everything in excess. If you can dream it, we want to make it.
And we'll pal around with electronic music artist Dan Deacon and some of his wild ideas.
I was at John Waters' Christmas party once, and I was pretty drunk, and Martin O'Malley was there. Martin O'Malley was the former mayor and the former governor, kept telling Martin O'Malley that he needed to run for mayor again under the premise of getting Baltimore to secede from the state.
And get a primer on Baltimore club music.
It was just a beacon of Black Baltimore nightlife, period. The queer community had a super huge home there because that's where a lot of those parties and events stemmed from.
Got a lot of great stories to tell over the next week. We hope you join us. Today, it's Future Islands. We're going back to 2024. Samuel Herring, Garrett Welmer is talking to me about their then new album, People Who Aren't There Anymore. And we discuss their viral hit-making moment on The Late Show with David Letterman. That's coming up. But first, we get underway with a live performance of Give Me the Ghost Back. It's Future Islands for Sense of Place Baltimore.
Just an animal that strains against my life. I push and pull the cord to make me feel alive. I had to fight to rest the reins packed on my life. Here come the stars again. Here come the stars again. How quickly we become the things that we despise. I talk too loud as if I'm not a lost child. So many questions talking to me day and night. Give me the ghost back. Give me my ghost back. What goes when I really wish it? What's that mean? What goes in my face? Do I feel? Is that who grief? My thoughts back. Yeah.
recorded live. It's Future Islands, Give Me the Ghost Back. It's from their new album, People Who Aren't There Anymore. Joining me from the band is singer Samuel T. Herring and keyboardist Garrett Welmers. I'm Kaleo. Gents, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. Sam, the band started work on this record sort of partway into the pandemic, and I know it evolved, but what was the initial idea that you wanted the record to become or thought it was going to be?
Well, the thing about us is we don't plan. I think I'm actually curious if maybe it would be interesting if we made a record that we planned. But so much of our albums are based on just the turns of our lives and the things that we're going through, you know, me in particular, in the autobiographical sense. And yeah, just trying to figure out what is happening. I mean, this record is really deeply personal for me. So like the album the songs quickly turned into these longings because I was, you know, separated from my ex. So yeah, that the fact the album was written over almost three and a half years, it really is a journey. And you know, I think when we first started to do this, to talk about how we were going to talk about this album, you know, maybe like 7-8 months ago, like how do we take this to press? What's the story of the record? We're like, we don't want to talk about the pandemic. Nobody wants to talk about the pandemic. But the fact is, like, I think doing press for this record and understanding what this record is about by being able to see it all in one group and see this story, you realize like, oh, we do need to talk about this at this time, because I think people are just kind of starting to realize that this thing happened to them that they haven't dealt with yet. Like, we kind of went back to the world and we're like, okay, everything's back to normal, but nothing's the same. You know, actually relates to I've received a lot of messages from people that are like, I went through this, this record is crushing me, but also I need it, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
and that's why we make music.
So Garrett, from your side, what's your mindset when you're trying to create music during, you know, tumultuous to say the least, you know, this time period?
I think at the beginning it was a little bit hard to focus. Mm-hmm. I thought it was kind of this special time in my life where my wife and I had a baby, and she was turning one, and we were kind of getting to the swing of things, you know, feeling it out like as new parents, and it was a weird time to just sort of shut everything down and enter this sort of home prison with this 1-year-old who we'd already been in this house with for 1 year previous. But I was like, tried to make the best of this situation and try to be creative, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was difficult in the beginning. It was not working. I think we're trying to force this, the creativity just couldn't happen. So I kind of just stepped back from it.
This is World Cafe. We're hanging out with Sam and Garrett talking about the new album, People Who Aren't There Anymore. Sam, talk about the evolution of being a songwriter in that situation where I'm not just looking back, I'm also kind of going through it at the same time.
Well, that is an interesting thing with this record that I think is a little different than, you know, I would most closely link this in our chronology. I think it's most similar to An Evening Air, our second album. You know, the writer I was at 25, who was so, you know, when you're young, your emotions are the only thing. They're like fire, and they have to be acknowledged, and they have to or extinguished. You know, they're all encompassing. I think as you get older, you realize, you know, I've been through this before. I can get through this again. And this is hard. You know, even the hardest thing I've ever been through, I got through it with grace because of wisdom. You know what I mean? Because of my maturity. But that doesn't make it easier. It's still a fight.
Makes sense. Is the Tower of Sun that you wrote with it sort of thinking that it symbolized or meant one thing, and then at towards the end of recording the record, you're like, no, this actually means something a little bit differently?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that. I mean, to me, there's a few songs that really did that for me on this album. You know, Deep in the Night, which was like, I thought was this love song, mm-hmm. you know, to tell this person how much I love them as they're far away. And then kind of realizing that it's later, realizing that it's more of a plea, you know, for someone to hold on and to not give up, to remind them how much I love them. Say Goodbye was that way. Very much so, about like how difficult this is, but we're going to make it to the other side. And then, you know, in retrospect, it's like, oh, this was actually the chronicle of a relationship falling apart through a breakdown of communication because of distance and time zones. The Tower, which is, I think, is a really quintessential Future Islands song in its setting and what it's doing, because it is like, once again, standing at the sea, you know, as in A Dream of You and Me, as in like Fall from Grace, as in Tybee Island, like standing at the sea and fighting with those, the inner, as much as that's the inner demon, you know, like as much as that song feels like it's this joyous thing and like telling someone that you're always going to be there and that hope, it's really, it's about, it's really a person standing there trying to remind themselves that there's hope when there isn't hope. You know, it's very much a song. And that's something that comes in, it came with retrospect, you know, with came with hindsight.
Let's take a listen to it right now. It's a live recording of Future Islands, The Tower on World Cafe. Future Islands on World Cafe, that is The Tower. It is from the band's seventh studio album, People Who Aren't There Anymore. Let's listen to another live recording. This one is my favorite song from the record. Check out Iris. That is Iris. It's Future Islands here on World Cafe. The new album from Future Islands is called People Who Aren't There Anymore. I'm Kaleo, joined by Sam Herring and Garrett Welmers of the band. It's been 10 years since you played the Ed Sullivan Theater, where you had a breakout moment on The Late Show with David Letterman playing seasons. You were just recently back. What was that feeling like, revisiting that place, that time, that energy?
I'm sorry, Garrett. Do you want to go first?
We like it there.
We do. I had the feeling rolling in there like a certain sense of belonging and like a home, which is a funny thing for a place like that, you know. It was just mm-hmm. like, ah, this is cool. You know, it's different. That was our second time on Colbert. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are still there that worked on Letterman, that saw us play our TV debut and are still working at the show, at higher level jobs and things like that. And they come around and say, hey, and they're so happy to see us back. And it just feels really, really nice for that reason.
You know, I know, Sim, you've been asked a lot about this, and your response has stayed relatively consistent, which is when people ask you what were you thinking or what was going through your head during the performance, you're like, you don't recall. So maybe Garrett's the person to ask. Garrett, what were you thinking when you were playing? Does anything stand out?
Much of it was, please, please do not mess up. So I kind of was not focusing on anything else, but my hands hitting those keys in the correct pattern. It was a little bit of a blackout for me as well. I do remember I had to get everything set up quickly. I forget how much time. It was like a minute, 56 seconds, something specific. And we had to throw these PA speakers up on stage and then get this computer set up. And it's like, and then hit play. And then when I went to start, my audio interface was not working. And then I turned around. It was because somebody had stepped on the cable and had pulled it out of the bag. So I reached down and plugged it in really quickly. And it was time to start playing. So it was a little bit nerve-wracking. I feel like this band works pretty well under pressure. Like I think some of our best performances have been under like an immense amount of pressure. Even if that's just us putting pressure on ourselves, we tend to do well. Yeah, I think we did a good job.
I think certainly say you did a good job. There's no doubt about that. Let's play just a little bit of that Letterman performance here on World Cafe at Future Islands.
Caesar's chain. Let your heart just soften you. Caesar's chain.
Seasons from Future Islands, recorded live on David Letterman back in 2014 for The Late Show. Samuel T. Herring and Garrett Wellmers are my guests from Future Islands. It's World Cafe. You know, in addition to the new album, Sam, in the last few months, people have had the chance to see you perform as a lead actor on the Apple TV Plus series, The Changeling. You know, you're a performer. You play on stage. But when it comes to comparing how you prepare to play a live show versus prepare to be on a film set, are there any transferable skills between singer, frontman, and actor?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I was surprised myself. I didn't really know that I could do, like, you know, initially getting the offer to audition, I just kept saying, I'm not an actor. But then I didn't really have anything else to do. So I gave it a shot and, within just like 2 weeks, I went from being very unsure of myself to being like, I think I might be able to do this. And then I got the part, but then they had said, we think you have the raw talent and you can do this, but we want to set you up with an acting coach if you were willing to do a few sessions. And I was like, yes, please, please give me an acting coach. But getting the acting coach, he really was an amazing guy named Larry Moss. He really gave me the confidence. And, you know, the first thing he said to me was like, I've been watching interviews and I've been watching performances and you're an actor. You just haven't acted. You just don't know it. And if you choose, you can do this. And I still to this day don't know if he was half blowing smoke or if he really believed it, but whatever he did, he really gave me the confidence and the trust. And that was the biggest thing that he taught me, was trusting myself and my instincts. He's like, if you're doing a scene and you're the top of your head itches, then scratch it. You know, if there's something in your nose, like, get it. Like, it's acting because it's what you would naturally do. Like, you have to trust your natural instinct. And so much of that is what it is on stage. the weird thing for me was I've always only sang my own words, you know, to try to embody another person is very different. But in learning, you know, I have an amazing knack for memorization. I was able to learn stuff really quickly, and get the stuff in my body. That's what they tell you. That's what my coach told me. You know, you need to know these lines so good that when you're saying them, they're coming from a natural place. You're not like trying to remember a line. It's just like it lives in your body. So I came on the scene my first day. I got in full costume, makeup, and everything, and then I sat in for about 5 minutes for just a shot where I'm in the background and like turning the look. And then I went and sat in my trailer for 9 or 10 hours. And I was just like losing it. What am I doing here? I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not an actor. It's finally time to do it. It's 3 in the morning. It's finally time to shoot my scene. And it's at this diner. We're in this diner in Harlem. And I'm with Lakeith Stanfield, who is just like an amazing actor. He's my scene partner. They asked Lakeith, it's been a long day. Do you want to shoot the rehearsal? And he's like, it's whatever. What do you think, Sam? And I was like, you always press record. That is the number one rule in music. You press record. And they filmed the rehearsal and they were like, oh my gosh, that's great. And I did it 2 more times and they're like, we got that. We're moving closer. And I knocked it out. I'm not trying to big myself up, but I did really good. And everyone was very relieved because a lot of people were counting on me, you know, had given me this chance to believe that I could do this thing, but I wasn't proven. And then after that day, they were like, you got it.
That's Sam Herring of Future Islands. Also see him on the Apple TV Plus television series called The Changeling, which is available now. Future Island's new album is available now called People Who Aren't There Anymore. We've got one more live performance to get to. Let's take a listen to The Garden Wheel.
Yeah.
Recorded live, it's Future Islands, The Garden Wheel. The new album is called People Who Aren't There Anymore. Garrett, Sam, thank you both so much for being here. It was a pleasure to talk to you, and best of luck in the future. Come back and see us again soon, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
We're back in a moment with more World Cafe.
You are tuned in to People Powered Radio. We are KAXE KBXE. Good morning, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. My name is Dan Gannon. Donating stocks and mutual funds is a quick, easy way to support KAXE's future. You may receive tax benefits as well. Call Sarah for details at 218-326-1234. Brainerd Nordic Ski Club's Lumberjack Jaunt is Sunday, February 1st at North Lawn Arboretum. Choose from skate or classic with distances of 6 or 16 kilometers. A free kids race is also offered. Find more info and register at BrainerdNordicSkiClub.com. We receive support from the National Alliance on Mental Illness of the Grand Rapids area. NAMI offers a free and confidential monthly support group the first Tuesday of each month for family and friends of persons with mental illnesses. Registration and more info at NAMIGrandRapidsMN.org. Coming up at 1 o'clock, your volunteer on the river hosts will be Todd and Tiffany Swenson out of the KAXE studios in Grand Rapids. Now back to the World Cafe.
Welcome back to World Cafe. Baltimore's Future Islands for Sense of Place. We've got a lot more Sense of Place Baltimore over the next week and a half. As we air these stories and sessions, they will be archived at worldcafe.org. Tomorrow, a playlist with some of Baltimore's up-and-coming artists. Join us, won't you? In the meantime, let's get back to music with Ella McNamara, who performs as Eller. The song is from the album At Home in My Mind. This is Missing Kid.
And every road leads me back to
It's these expressions I never give. They keep me searching for the heart of gold. And I'm getting old. They keep me searching for a heart of gold. And I'm getting old. Searching for a heart of gold, and I'm getting old. Keeps me searching for a heart of gold, and I'm getting old.
Thank you.
S.G. Goodman, I Can See the Devil, from her great album Planting by the Signs. Madison Cunningham is on deck when we return to World Cafe.
Happy Monday morning, and thanks so much for listening to the World Cafe on people-powered radio, KAXE, KBXE. I'm Dan Gannon. NAMI Grand Rapids and the Minnesota North Psych Club host a viewing of the film Good Side of Bad Wednesday, January 28th at 2 p.m. at Chucker Auditorium on the campus of Minnesota North in Grand Rapids. The movie explores mental health, recovery, and resilience. A guided discussion follows the movie. We received support from the Lake Country Journal, a magazine showcasing the beauty, landscapes, and people of Lake Country. The February-March issue publishes the winners of their annual photo contest, which are also displayed at the Brainerd Lakes Regional Airport. Submissions accepted all year round at lakecountryjournal.com. Beltrami Soil and Water Conservation District's annual tree sale is going on now. Young tree and shrub seedlings come in bundles of 25, plus native wildflower and grass mixes are available. Order early for the best selection. Find more info at beltramiswcd.org. Now back to the World Cafe.
And we're back on World Cafe. Madison Cunningham, her album Ace. This song is Break the Jaw.
Machine, and no one's ever seen. the heat, sweaty in the street, tilt-a whirling,
whirling, whirling.
I can feel your eyes, find me in the crowd, think you like me now. Block in your white tee, you're looking pretty fine to me. So why are you waiting? When I'm slamming in my dancing shoes, asphalt's hot and my knees all bruised. It's the summer, got a lot to prove. Can't wait to do it, can you?
Now,
oh, I'm swaying from side to side in the neon lights, singing in the wonder world, got vibes. You're divine for tonight.
From the album Free Love, Sylvanesso, Ferris Wheel, putting the wraps on this edition of The Cafe. More Sense of Place Baltimore all this week and next. It's made possible with a grant from the Wincote Foundation. We make this program from WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. This was fun. We'll do it again. I'm Kaleo. This is World Cafe.
World Cafe is supported by BritBox, dedicated to offering viewers the opportunity to see it differently with British TV. Streaming original series, Jane Austen dramas, Agatha Christie mysteries, and more at BritBox.com. And by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. RWJF is a national philanthropy working toward a future where health is no longer a privilege, but a right. Learn more at RWJF.org.
This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are People Powered Radio in northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org. Good afternoon. My name is Dan Gannon. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks so much for listening. Let's take a look at weather in the listening region today. A mix of clouds and sun. Highs above zero, finally. 5 to 10 degrees should be our highs. Snow possible this afternoon. Southwest winds gusting up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of snow continuing this evening. Lows 4 to 9 below zero. Tuesday, mostly sunny. Highs near 4 above zero. Blustery northwest wind up to 25 miles per hour with overnight lows around 10 below. And Wednesday, mostly to partly sunny. Highs in the single digits. Northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Our KAXE question of the week is, the world is overwhelming. The news from our state is coming fast and furious. As a community, we're all gathering stories of how you stay connected. Tell us what keeps you going in times of turmoil. Time with family, time alone.